Ready for the word? Yeah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for our hearts, just like those young hearts in the other rooms, Lord. We're asking for our hearts to be soft. Holy Spirit, I ask that again, you just take control of my heart and my mind, my mouth, Lord. I pray that your truth comes out, Lord. And if it's got to come out bold and strong, if it's got to come out gentle and kind, Lord, whatever you desire, we want to hear your voice today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, guys, we're going to spend another week here about being prepared at the quarry. Everybody say that with me. Prepared at the quarry, right? We all know 1 Kings 6, 7, and again, talks about that these stones, that the temple, Solomon's temple is built with stones prepared at the quarry, right? There's no tools used at the temple site. And the concept we're talking about, it's in this series about this spiritual temple that God's building in the church. Amen. Amen. So they got one amen there, right? So the whole concept here is that we talked about Peter calls us lively stones, right? And there's a scripture in Isaiah that we haven't got to yet, but there's a scripture in Isaiah that says, I forget what chapter it's in, but it says the prophet is telling us to look to the rock from which you were hewn. Amen. Talking about Jesus, right? So kind of what's going on is we talked last week a lot about when we get saved, right? As powerful as the cross is, as powerful as the blood of Jesus is, the blood of Jesus does not perfect us. Can I get amen? The blood of Jesus positions us to be perfected, right? It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us so the Holy Spirit can come in. He don't come into something that's dirty, right? So the blood of Jesus cleanses our hearts clean, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and he starts working, right? And the Holy Spirit's job is to make me like Jesus. Amen. So, whoops, hang on. I lost my spot. Here we go. So we're going to kind of develop right from last Sunday, right? We're going to keep digging here. And so when we're talking about church, when this preparation, really it's about my heart. And even at the classes we're doing in community groups, this guy's talking about the heart, right? And he says it's not the muscle in my chest that's pumping blood through my body, but who I am, right? Who, right? My soul, my the way I think, the way I identify myself, the self-talk. Anybody need their self-talk helped out? Man, right? Little stuff like this, church. Did anybody do something rather on the foolish side this week? Don't lie. We're in church, everybody. Yeah. Anybody do something kind of dumb today? You know? And you know, but here's the difference in self-talk. That self-talk could be, man, I'm so stupid. Right? Or, wow, that was a stupid thing to do. I'm not stupid. I did something stupid. Amen. You're like, well, what's the big deal? It's a huge deal, man. It's a huge deal. We're going to do dumb stuff. We're going to do stuff that we'd rather, if we look back and we could back up 5 minutes, I say, boy, I wouldn't have said that if I could back up. I definitely wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have dated that guy. I wouldn't have married him. I wouldn't have bought that. I wouldn't have, right? Come on, church. We all do stuff that when looking back, we'd go, boy, I wish I could do that again, right? But the issue is not to identify who I am with a poor decision. I made a poor decision. It doesn't mean that that's who I am, right? And God will redeem poor decisions because that's who we did. That's what he does. He redeems us. Can I get amen? Ezekiel 36, 26 and 7, we all know this one. Well, we know 26, but I don't know how many of us can know 27 in the rest of the chapter. We're just going to read two verses, but turn with me there to Ezekiel 36. We ready over there up on the screens? You guys got me? Y'all there? Ready? Moreover, verse 26, who's I? God, right? The Father. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to raise the dead, cast out demons, heal sick folks, and prophesy. Oh, my bad. Now, can we do all that because the Holy Ghost is on us? For sure. We should be doing that stuff. But look at, that's not what he's talking about here, y'all. What's he talking about? The Holy Spirit is in me. Again, I love Bill Johnson's quote. He says, the Holy Spirit's on me for you. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the giftings of the Spirit of God. On me for you to minister. He's in me for me. Right? The indwelling Holy Spirit is to change me. The anointing of God is to change you, is to impact culture, right? It's the giftings, right? The Bible says the giftings of God are without repentance, right? If God gives you a gift, you got it. No matter what you do, right? That's why we see such a mess in so many churches today, because folks we're so focused on gifts and there's not enough character to keep the gift going. Amen? Right? So the prophet here, church, is not talking to us about gifts. He's talking to us about our character, our integrity. Are we living properly before the Lord? Amen. Right? I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. I mean, if you read a few more verses down, there's a verse in there that's a real scary one. And he says, in that day, right, he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling us. He says, in that day, you will loathe yourselves for all of your sin and iniquity. You're like, well, geez, I don't hear a lot of church talking about that, man. We always, every time the Holy Spirit comes, it's joy and we're all happy and everything. But Ezekiel says that when the Holy Spirit gets working in your heart, you're not going to like yourself too much sometimes. Can I get amen? Anybody ever have the Holy Spirit pull a layer of your heart back and you go, there's no way that's me. That must be somebody else. No. Amen, right? The Holy Spirit starts digging, and you know what? It's talking about repentance, church, right? The Holy Spirit peels something back in your heart and shows you some ugly stuff in there, and he's not showing it to you to condemn you. He's showing it to you to set you free from it, right? And all I got to do is confess it. Lord, yes, right? The psalmist says, Lord, search me and know me and see if there be any wicked way in me. This guy's saying, look, I'm trying my best, Lord, but there's probably some stuff in there that I'm not quite aware of. Dig it out. Amen. It's a good prayer, right? So we see this thing about a new heart. I noticed something I've never noticed before, church, but the Hebrew word for new right here, a new heart, it's an interesting word because the Hebrew word actually means repaired, not brand new, like here's a brand new car, right? He's saying that when the Holy Spirit comes in, when this gift comes, he's actually, there's not like this brand new thing that comes into you like it's foreign. He says, I'm going to restore your heart to a place that it was before sin started messing it up. What does the Bible say? Don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Right? Harden in my heart, right? Don't let my heart become calloused. Today, if you hear his voice, don't what? Harden your heart, right? So it's not some brand new thing, right? We know Romans, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed, the Greek word there is not brand new, but rather to restore, right? It's taking my brain, my mind, the way I think, not brand new software, not brand new operating system, but rather he's restoring what was lost in the fall of Adam. Can I get amen, church? Right? Before Adam sins, he's given the responsibility to rule the world, take dominion, rule this planet, right? So Adam, church, must have been brilliant. Man, Adam is the one that named every single animal that God created, every single one. I'd run out of names at like 10 of them, man. I'm done. Right? We were playing Scattergories last night at my mom's house. Man, I'm awful at that game. I won, but it was two rounds. But hey, I won, you know. But man, that's a hard game. You ever play that game? It's like there's this list of all these things you got to guess. Then they roll a dice, and there's that letter, like the letter B, and then there's all these things you got to name and figure out how many, but you can't have the same as somebody else. You don't get points for that. Got to be unique. I won that. Because my mind is being renewed to Adam's. Man, that's what it is. I'm telling you. Can I get amen, church? Look, God, When we surrender to the Holy Spirit, we allow the Spirit of God to work in us, not only are we going to get restored in our emotions, man, we're not going to be able to just get along with folks like we should, but there should be Christians, church should be the smartest folks on the planet. Because the Holy Spirit is breathing life into the dead things in my mind. Right? You know, the smartest guy on the planet uses like 8% of his brain his entire life. God didn't give you a brain to use 8% of it. That's pretty good. I wish there was a verse in the Bible said that, because I'd use it a lot. Most of us know this passage in Ezekiel, right? In the rest of the chapters, I just quoted another verse, powerful, right? But I want to just talk about for a few minutes here, this new heart, right? Takes out the stony heart, gives us this heart of flesh, a soft heart, right? A heart that is malleable, right? A heart that can be shaped, a heart that's sensitive, a heart that can hear the voice of God. Amen, church? Look, I'm not saying that you cannot hear the audible voice of God, but you know, in the Bible, the last time that anybody is recorded to hear the audible voice of God is Jesus talking to Paul on the road to Damascus, right? Everything else is a vision. Now, maybe it's audible, but you see what I'm saying? Once the Holy Spirit comes, the voice goes from outside to inside, right? The reason Adam and Eve fell in the garden is because the voice was outside, not inside, right? God would show up, they hear a voice, God would leave, and they're left on their own, right? Now the Holy Spirit's in us, I'm never left on my own, never ever. I have the voice of God on the inside, man. I don't ever have to make one decision based on my own abilities. I can hear the voice of God for every single thing I got to do all day long. Is that good? That should be encouraging, right? Now, the issue is we just got to slow down and listen, right? So go to Matthew 15 real fast. If you guys can pull that up just for sake of time. Let's read a few verses here. We're gonna look at some contrast, right? So Jesus speaking here, he says, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? Everybody say eliminated. But I love one version says it passes out in the draft. It's in the Bible, y'all. I'm just saying. We got to chuckle a little bit, right? And this morning was funny. We were getting ready for worship, and my 2-year-old Everly was she's in underwear now. She's been in underwear for 3 days with no accidents, man. Right? So she comes in and we're getting ready to let her go to nursery, and so Missy says to Rana, right, Everly's got underwear on. And I don't know, for some reason, what I heard in my head is everyone has underwear on. So I said, who's got underwear on this morning? I do. Right. I don't know why I said that. I thought it was funny. I think it was the whole thing about the draft, right? It passes on the draft, right? It's like you eat it, it kind of goes through and goes out, man. It's a little bit of potty humor in the Bible. Amen, praise God. But 18, the things that proceed, look at what he says, church. Look at how convicting this statement should be. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. Wow. For out of the heart, Jesus says, come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man, right? So look, how many of you, let's be honest, we're in church, how many of you have ever said something, and as soon as you say it, you go, oh, I didn't mean to say that? You know the truth is? Yes, you did. You did mean to say that. Probably you're sorry you said it. I could say that. Well, I'm very sorry I said that. I should not have said that, right? But to say I didn't mean that, yeah, you did, right? And this is what happens at the Quarry Church. It's, as I said last week, it's not just about doing the right thing. That's religion. It's not just about controlling my tongue. You know what James says about the tongue? He says, no man can control the tongue. You can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. Because it should not be this constant battle. If I notice that I'm constantly catching something that's about to come out of my mouth, That's not a place of freedom, right? That's a place of like, I'm constantly on edge, making sure I don't say something offensive to somebody. Amen? What should happen as I allow the Spirit of God to work is he should take all that junk out of me, the source of those things that I'm trying to control what I say, the source of those actions that I say, oh boy, I can't do that now. I can't blow up. I can't yell, right? Like our testimony we heard, right? The dog, got into a whole case of toilet paper, and it's like, okay, it's not good. But I'm not going to have a meltdown about it either. Can I get an amen, church? Look, it's not just about, okay, I'm going to try to be good. Oh, I'm going to try not to yell at my kids. How many people try not to yell at your kids? How long does that last? About 4 seconds. Right? Man. Look, it's not about trying harder. It's not about, okay, Lord, I did this. I need to stop doing this. You're right. You do got to stop. But what God is trying to get at is, why do you do it? Why? What's the root? And you know what? If you sit down in a group and ever talk about this stuff, there's like 3 or 4 common roots, right? Typically, there's some issue with your parents. That's a big root. That'll mushroom cloud into all kinds of stuff. Can I get amen? Right? Either, you got the dad that is abusive, physically abusive and verbally abusive, and it messes up how you see authority figures or whatever, or you got the dad who's passive and he's just ain't around. Right? And that messes you all up a whole other way. Because you can't receive love because you don't know you never got loved. Can I get amen? You got stuff with moms, right? Moms do this. Can I get church? You see what I'm saying? And so the thing is, what we do, religion, church is just like, stop saying that. Stop doing that. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Stop watching porno. Stop, cheating on your wife. Stop beating your kids. Stop, stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop. And yes, all that stuff should stop. But if there's something broken inside me, church, no, I can never stop doing that stuff. This is what's got to get fixed, man. I got to get my soul right. My heart has got to get healed. It needs to be repaired. Because if my heart gets repaired, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I don't want to lash out at folks. Amen. And that takes time to die too, I'm telling you, because I've got better. But sometimes you just still want to give somebody a salute on the highway. Praise God. Nice driving, buddy. Am I the only one who ever wants to do that? So here's the big question, right? If we've been given a new heart according to Ezekiel, but then we got Jesus telling us that our heart is what's defiling us. So what's up? If we've got this new heart, we've got this new spirit, but then, my actions, my words and my actions are a reflection of my heart, right? So if I'm saved, because that's what Ezekiel's talking about getting saved, right? Then what's the deal? As I said last week, just because you got saved don't mean you're ready to go. If it was about getting saved, you would say yes to Jesus and get beamed up, man. That's it. You'd say yes and your heart would stop beating right on the, boom, you'd be done. If that's what it's about, no, because salvation, real salvation, is about the salvation of your soul. Go read the New Testament and find how many times they talk about that, right? Endure to the end. Jesus himself says it. If you endure to the end, you'll be saved. You're like, well, wait a second. If I got saved and that's all that's supposed to happen, what do I got to endure? You got to endure the process of salvation, not just the event of it. Right? Because we're supposed to be the first, Jesus is called by Paul in Colossians, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, man. We're supposed to be like little Jesus is running around on the earth, right? Talking like him, thinking like him, emotions like him. We see like him. We hear like him. We heal folks like him. We talk like him. We do the things that Jesus does, not because we're trying real hard, but because we've already died to who we were and it comes out automatic. Because that's what Jesus did. The only thing Jesus had to do was steal away and pray, right? Man, he'd go up on a mountain somewhere and pray for a little bit and come down. He's ready to go. Never does one thing but what the Father says, right, church? If that's what Jesus did, he does nothing but what the Father says, then that's what we not only should do, but can do. Is that good? See, there's nowhere in the Bible that tells us that our language or our behavior needs to change first. In the Old Testament, and I've said this many times, but think about this, church. In the Old Testament, think about it. If you read through the laws and stuff in the Old Testament, there's nothing there that is trying to change a person. It's just do this or don't do this. God likes this. God likes this. God likes this. God doesn't like this. God doesn't like this. God doesn't like that. And they'd have to kill bulls and goats and sprinkle blood or everything just so God didn't wipe them off the planet. Right? The old covenant did nothing to change a man's heart. The new covenant takes what God, all these standards of God, ratchets them up a whole bunch and then says, now I'm putting my spirit in you to change your heart. I'm changing your operating system. I'm changing your source. I'm changing your strength. I'm changing your hope. I'm changing your joy. I'm changing what you live by. So I can walk through stuff in life that's not going the way I want it to go, and it doesn't blow me all over the place anymore. Right? I keep plugging away. Amen? So notice a couple things, and just wrapping up here in a few minutes. So guys, in Ezekiel, I saw this years ago, man, and I didn't like it, but I'm just telling you what's up. So if you look in Ezekiel again, you get a new heart and a new spirit, right? Anything missing? You guys notice something missing? Like it's called your soul. Ezekiel says nothing about it. He says, hey, I'm going to give you a brand new set of emotions when you get saved. He's like, nope. Guess what? You got to work that one out, bro. How many people say, I mean, come on. If God can do whatever he wants, which he can, if God certainly could just rip all the stuff out of me, he could just take everything that's ever happened to me, everything I've ever done wrong, he could take all those memories, he could take all that stuff out. The moment I get saved, he could fix everything. Everything that's wrong with me in a second, boom. But he doesn't. He fixes the source and says, now you got to partner with me to fix all the rest of it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says, right? A yoke. We all know this, but a yoke is like you yoke oxen together or horses or mules, right? And then you plow a field with it, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Get in the yoke with me. I'm not going to do it by myself. I could, but I ain't going to do it. He's saying, get in it with me, man. We're going to start plowing. We're going to plow up your soul. We're going to plow up all those memories you got, all that junk in your life, all those times when somebody says something, you just snap, want to bite their head off, right? All that stuff, and people are like, what the heck is wrong with you, man? You know, all that stuff. God's saying, we're going to dig this stuff out. It takes some time. It's going to hurt. It's not going to be pretty. You're going to cry. You're going to get angry. You're going to feel shame. You're going to feel all this stuff, but it's all part of the process of becoming a mature son and daughter of God, right? And the big thing, church, is to build some relationships with folks so that when I'm going through those seasons of God digging, I got some folks that know me and it's safe, it's all right. I can be real, I can be honest. I can say, man, I'm just going through it, bro. You know, just stand with me, amen? It's hard. There's times that will be hard walking with God. Amen. So a few more thoughts here, and so let's just talk about this heart thing for a minute. So again, we talk about Ezekiel's got this new heart, but then Jesus says our heart defiles us, right? So if I've got a new heart, why does my heart defile me? And the issue, church, is that what am I allowing to influence my heart? See, prior to being saved, and this is hard in our culture today, prior to being saved, I don't care how nice somebody is. If they're not saved, the Bible tells us that they are serving the devil. Should have got one amen on that one. Everybody's like, man, them's fighting words. But as I said last week, the devil, the Bible describes him as a liar from the beginning. Right? And unless you really don't care, most folks, when they lie because they're trying to get away with something. Can I get amen, right? Anybody ever lied about something, right? You're trying to paint a picture like you're doing this, but you're really doing this, right? So the devil is a liar from the beginning, right? The Bible calls him another spot, the father of all lies, right? Is he gonna tell somebody, hey, listen to me, and you're gonna burn in hell forever, for all eternity? They'd be like, wow, sign me up, sounds good. No, he's gonna deceive, he's gonna paint this picture of like, hey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about all that church stuff. Don't worry about all that God stuff. Don't worry about getting saved. You know, don't worry about this. Don't worry about none of that stuff. Don't worry about repenting. Just do what you're gonna do. Just do your thing. You can live how you want. You can give how you want. You can go to church when you want to. You can talk to folks however you feel like talking to them. You can decide. Now we can decide what kind of gender we are, apparently. I don't even know how that works. Come on, y'all. If the plumbing is outdoor when it comes out, it's a boy. If it's indoor plumbing, it's a girl, man. How are we messing that up? It's all about identity. Man. But right, we're talking about it's all deception. Can I get an amen? Right? I watched this thing. I think I've shared this before, but I watched this thing. I forget where I saw it. It was like Dateline. You guys remember that TV show, Dateline, on NBC or whatever? They had a show one time on there where it was like, the debate was, is the devil real or something? And they had preachers on there. They had a preacher and this lady that was a prostitute and got saved and built a ministry to rescue prostitutes out of prostitution. And then they were debating with these other guys like Deepak Chopra. You guys ever heard of that guy, Deepak Chopra? He's like an Indian guy he's all about heaven and hell is inside of you, and you live and you die, that's it. Yeah, real, real nut job. Bless him. Amen. So there was this whole debate, and I was fascinated. I was watching this debate where you got the Christian perspective about this preacher's quoting the Bible real good, and this lady's quoting the Bible, and then they're going back, and it's going back and forth, and I'm watching this. It was fascinating. Then at the end, I was like, wow. At the end, they opened for questions. And so these people are coming out of the crowd and asking questions. And I'm just listening. I don't remember what the Christians were, but I remember at the end, as I'm watching this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me real clear. And this is what he said. Son, it's not a debate about whether the devil's real. It's a debate about whether you need to get saved or not. And I said, what? Because he says, if you can convince folks that the devil ain't real, that means hell's not real. That means sin's not real. And if hell's not real and sin ain't real, then what did Jesus actually do for us? If sin don't exist, if hell's not real, then what am I getting saved from? It's not just a philosophy, hey, accept Jesus and your life's going to be great. As a matter of fact, it probably won't be. Here, can I get amen? How many people got saved and it got worse? Come on, man, right? Look, it says, I was reading in Timothy yesterday, it says, talks about bodily exercise. I've been back at the gym for 2 months, slimming down, looking good, right? And he says bodily discipline profits a little, but godly discipline is profitable both now and in the life to come, right? So you know what he's really saying, church? That if we really are disciplining ourselves for godliness, it might work out okay here, but it might not. But what it will work out real good is in the life to come, right? Church, we've got to break this lie about, man, you get saved, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and you'll be wise. But you ain't going to be healthy and wealthy just because you said yes to Jesus. You might be the opposite of that stuff. Man, that's just how it is. There's people in the New Testament that got sick and died that were serving God. Can I get amen? There's people that got sick and stayed sick for a long time and then got better. It wasn't something like, you know, lay hands on you, pow, you're healed. Now, man, I believe in that. We should do it, but we've got to stop telling God what to do. Can I get amen? Look, if you're having financial trouble, it doesn't mean you're in sin. You could be right smack in the middle of God's will. That's good preaching. So really the issue, church, here, now that I've got this new heart, this soft heart, the Lord said to me years ago, and I said, boy, I didn't like it at all, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit. He said to me, son, I'm only going to give you a new heart one time. It's your job to keep it right now. I said, boy, that don't sound warm and fuzzy, does it? Now, church, now we know that, come on, don't get down on yourself, man. We know the Bible says what? That God's mercies are new every day, right? And that I can, you know how I keep my heart soft? It's real simple. It's called repent. That's how I keep my heart soft. When I realize something's creeping in, and I say, oh, God, how did I get here? I can't believe I did that. The issue is immediately turn to God. I have sinned against you. I am wrong. Amen. And immediately in my heart, the Holy Spirit comes in and wipes that thing out and keeps that thing soft and pliable. Amen, church? Right? Again, look at how many warnings. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the days of rebellion. Right? Stern warnings. I read something the other day. It says that we need to start preaching grace as both a blessing and a warning. I said, well, amen, I like that. We don't preach it as a warning in the church in America today. We preach grace. Hey, man, you got grace, do whatever you want. No, grace is empowering you to do what you're supposed to do. Amen. So let's stand up. I'm going to finish up right here. The issue really is, church, we'll pick it up maybe next week, but the issue is, what I got to start recognizing when something comes out of my mouth, if I'm saved, if I know Jesus, and something comes out of my mouth that's just off, that I'm embarrassed about it, I'm ashamed of what I've just said, I treat somebody some way, I have thoughts about somebody, that I say, oh my gosh, why am I thinking this stuff? Right there, the issue is your soul, your old man is influencing your heart. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Your heart, my heart, is like the last stop before words come out, before an action, before I do something, right? That heart is that last stop where I'm supposed to try to catch that thing and say, whoa, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't do that. Amen? But the process of getting prepared at the quarry, this issue with the Holy Spirit digging this junk out, is saying, I'm going to fix the source, right? If my heart continues to be influenced by my old nature, I will fall away from God. If I allow my heart to be influenced by the Spirit of God, my heart will grow stronger and I'll become more pure. The old man will continue to die, right? Take up my cross every day, right? It's recognize those old patterns, recognize those old thoughts, recognize those things and say, no, that's not who I am. I am not that person anymore. Jesus paid for that old man. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen? So, Father, we thank you this morning. Father, thank you for everyone coming out, everyone that didn't venture out, Lord. We just ask that you bless them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that this message finds them wherever they get a chance to watch it. Let us, Lord, that we would learn, continue to learn and grow about what does it look like to be mature in Christ, to not just operate in gifts, but to stand as mature sons and daughters that are pleasing in your sight. So, Father, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for prayer. Amen.